But if there was an overwhelming resistance to it, I wouldn't. Does that, I mean, there's yisodos in Torah there that are important to everybody. Right? Everybody should know about the law of Tumas Kohen, is what to learn there. And also, when we get into the halacha lemaisa, very interesting halachic process in Yanim come up. How psak halacha works, and some interesting, and of course, as always, stimulating controversies. All right. Now we're going to talk about this. But before we do, I want to give out three handouts. So everybody hang on to your handouts. Okay? Don't lose them. Because we're only going to do one today. But when we talk about this topic, which is basically autopsies is the main, but while we're at it, since there are some pre-meds or potential pre-meds, I'm going to throw in the special angle of anatomy lab that is really a part of this. And just, I'll introduce it by saying that
I consider it an anatomy lab expendable.
Yeah, I'll explain that. It's especially for Kohanim, I would say. We're going to see that debate. There's actually a big debate about anatomy lab. Do you really need it? Because, and this doesn't directly relate to autopsies, but it definitely indirectly relates. The point, what is the point? Actually, before we get into that, we'll do that second. What are the issues that come up? What are the relevancies of dissecting human bodies?
What are the issues? What are halacha l'maisa situations where dissecting human bodies is relevant? Aside from autopsy, right? We don't know about autopsy. And we're going to have to discuss when is an autopsy mutter. Hey, there he is. He's always smiling. That's great.
Here, we just gave out three handouts. Come on up. Number one. Number two. So if you have a quick chance to read over that first upper left-hand corner, you'll see over there listed one more. This is an important one. This is where we separate B'nai Bris from non-B'nai Bris. Talk about that. Jew from non-Jew. Alright. Let's start on the upper corner. Where is the topic of autopsies and or dissecting human bodies come into our lives? Hopefully nowhere. But we see here minimally five places. First one is just what we were just talking about, medical school. Study of anatomy and pathology in medical school. What we're going to need to weigh once we understand all the yisurim involved in getting involved in an autopsy is we're going to have to, of course, weigh the level of yisur against the level of benefit of doing whatever we're doing. So, let's start with that. How much significance and how much benefit is there to medical students studying the human body and cutting it up and exploring the human body? Anyone have an idea? And you don't have to be pre-med to answer this question. Should we advocate the continued practice?
There are other ways to do it, obviously.
Yeah, like what?
They have models.
There's some cool 3D stuff. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Really is. Seen it. It's great. In fact, this is what I was telling you before. When I took anatomy, now, it wasn't really religious reasons alone, but I did the first semester, of course, you're going to do everything everybody else is. You're not going to have the chutzpah to start cutting your first medical school class. And generally, they start you off in an anatomy lab. Right? And there's many reasons they do that. How you doing? Here, I'm going to give you this. This is the one we're doing today. Our topic is autopsies. I'm cutting up human bodies. We're talking about the first application of that. Right? Are you thinking of pre-med or anything like that, by the way? Okay. It always puts a perspective on you. So, do we need to do this? Why would they continue having anatomy lab in medical schools if we can get that information another way? Like, my second semester of anatomy lab, I didn't go. I didn't go the entire semester. The main reason I didn't go was it was destroying all my clothing. You go there and the smell of the formaldehyde and whatever solutions they're using for preservation just stays with you. And you have to wash it out, like, instantaneously. It gets to be a pain in the neck. Also, there was a lot of litzanus going on in the room, which is, you know, some of the things that I was may or may not tell you about. And it's a, as we'll see, it's not a nice thing that they were doing. But people do crazy things when they're under high pressure, right? That was another reason. But at the end of the day, I used, even back then, this is like 20 years ago, I used atlases and things like that. I didn't even have the 3D availability and all the videos and the CDs that they have now. But, and Baruch Hashem, you know, I did okay in the class. So, you don't really need to do the dissection. So why do they have it?
They don't want your first contact with the body to be your first patient.
That's not far off. You mean, what's the gist of what Eitan's saying? What's he getting at there?
Experience.
Experience with what?
Then, you're going to walk into your first patient and, like, throw up or something. It's just not going to be fear.
Well, usually your patients are alive. These bodies are not. So what do they want you to be comfortable encountering?
Death.
Death. That's the title. If you look in this article on the right here from the New York Times, New York Times in 2004 already was talking about this issue, which is a very big issue. Should we do away with the whole thing, right? Life for Kohanim will be great, right? Kohanim will have no problem in medical school anymore. And they go through it. In the end, everybody agrees we don't really need to do it. But everyone is still doing it because of this other hidden advantage that they maintain to getting involved with their bodies. Now, this, who's reading? I saw Halacha Knan over there. Where are you up to?
Page 110.
So you've certainly encountered the Rav's description of how the Halacha feels about death.
Yeah.
Right? So how would you summarize it? I don't want to put you on the spot. Should I summarize it for you?
It's already.
Huh?
It's a couple of weeks, yeah.
Right.
Where is it?
It's, huh?
I said this last time, I don't remember. Anyway, so you've used it as essentially that it's a terrible thing because we're no longer in the realm of doing mitzvos. So a Jew's very afraid of, he's not afraid of death, he understands death, but the same respect, he
runs away from it because he's afraid of it?
Not because he's afraid
of fear. No, he runs away from it because he wants to focus on life, right? He's focused on life. Mayim Chaim, and Mayim Chaim is the antidote to Tumas Hameis, right? And that whole theme. Right, so it's interesting. So Allah is interested in us not getting ever comfortable with death. We want to be uncomfortable with death, and the medical school wants us to be comfortable. Does it make sense? It does, actually. Because why they want you comfortable with death? Because you will never objectively be able to take care of people unless you're able to deal with it, and you're never going to be able to counsel people properly who unfortunately are heading in that direction unless you're able to deal with it. So they feel it's an absolute essential rite of passage. So that's the first context where we'll deal with this. The second one is making the correct diagnosis about the cause of death in cases. How important is that? Is that, and here's the threshold of importance, is it as important as pikuach nefesh? Is that statement the same as saying pikuach nefesh? Is it always ascertaining the cause of death have the same significance as pikuach nefesh? If it did, what would that tell us? We could just close all these handouts. And it's mutter. Kidding? Pikuach nefesh? It's definitely going to be matir. Any yisurim I could come up with in this context. But why are we still doing this? And this is going to be very important for the end point about deciding about autopsies. Mamish pikuach nefesh, for sure, is going to be docha any problem. But what's the issue? Finding the cause of death is not always going to be pikuach nefesh, right? Obviously. Sometimes it absolutely is. Like, there was an unfortunate case very recently where that was the shaila that somebody asked me. There was a young person, not like a 2 years older than you, 1 year older than you, who just died suddenly. And they had no idea why or what happened. He was like on a ski trip with friends and just, you know, wasn't feeling well, and then he went to sleep, and they found him, and he was gone. Is that enough of a reason to get an autopsy, that scenario? So it was debated. I felt for sure it was. Because they're siblings, and the information on the cause of death here could be definitely worthwhile in potentially saving someone else's life. Does that mean a full open autopsy? No, it would mean, as we'll see, that you'd have to tailor make it tailor make it in a way. It's called a halachic autopsy. Do you ever hear that expression? I just want you to take a look at the second hand that I gave you. The last, I think it's the last page. Let me see. Last page. This, I think, was put together, if I'm not mistaken, by Rabbi Bleich. And it's a very, very important thing for people to know about. That's why I want to say it up front, so I don't forget to show it to you. If, chas v'shalom, you're ever involved in a situation where you need to make a decision on somebody granting permission for an autopsy, which in the States, you always have that, right? In Eretz Yisrael, there was a time period where they were like not listening to families and doing it behind their back. That was a whole major controversy in this country. It was unbelievable. There was physical violence over it. But in the United States, everybody has the right for this. And this is we're going to see how we implement this. But I wanted you to know about it right up front, that if the halacha allows for a limited autopsy, you have that option where you could not let them do what they normally do. And we're going to see what they normally do is going to be fraught with many halachic problems. Okay, so we're going to come back to this. Alright, let's go back to the front page. We'll go through that in a little more detail so you'll see. What else? Medical research. Is medical research ever a heter for any Isurei D'oraisa? What do you think?
No.
Straight medical research will not be. Because medical research will not be enough of Pikuach Nefesh. What are we going to need to do, by the way, by the end of this series? Define Pikuach Nefesh, right? That everybody must be feeling. Anyone here think they can define what Pikuach Nefesh really means? What's Pikuach Nefesh? Should we do this right now? Let's do it right now. We'll need to know this, right? Because we're going to develop all the Yisurim involved, but I'm going to tell you that we're going to be able to do limited autopsies and different things if we hit the threshold of Pikuach Nefesh. So, what's Pikuach Nefesh? So, simply put, Pikuach Nefesh means that there's a life at stake, right? Does it have to be definitive?
No.
It could be something, right? That was who remembers that Gemara in Yuma? Remember the Gemara in Yuma that we did for brain death?
Yeah.
So, right before that sugya on Pehe.
The guy in the rubble?
Right before the guy in the rubble, right, was the sugya of Safek Pekuach Nefesh. And the bottom line is with Pekuach Nefesh, you could have multiple sveikos. And it's still Docha, all these sermons, except for, you know, Gilei Raya, Sheikh Islam, and Nevo Tzar. Right? Okay, so Safek Pekuach Nefesh is good enough. Alright, so what if I told you I want to do medical research? Because I think that my research will successfully find a cure for cancer. And that'll save a lot of lives. Is that Pikuach Nefesh?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we, where are we drawing the line?
You have to know at least which person they're saving.
Aha, so there's a famous tshuva by the Noda Yehuda, where he said something like that. It was an autopsy tshuva, in fact. That was the topic. And he said, you need cholo lefanino. What does cholo lefanino mean? It means kind of what you're saying. It sounds like what he meant was, if I had one guy in the bed here, and another guy in the bed here, and this guy's autopsy will save this guy's life, I can do it. Right? Do we need that? What about less than that? So the Chazon Ish modified the Noda Yehuda a little. He said, you don't need mamish cholo lefanino, you can have sakana lefanino. Which means, the danger is existing now. The danger is existing now, or may exist now. So that's why, like in that case of that unfortunate kid that had that sudden death, so he's on the border. Because I don't know if there's a danger existing right now. But there might be. There might be, whatever killed him might be affecting a sibling at this moment, and the only way to save him is to know. So if it's something I could research on my own, right, without touching the body, I should do it. But it could be that certain things I can't rule out. So once I determine that I'll be allowed to do as part of my autopsy. Because once there's a specified danger, then it constitutes pikuach nefesh. So it doesn't have to be mamish chol lefaneinu, sakana lefaneinu is good enough. If the danger is ever present, then you're allowed to do all the yisurim. And that's all you're going to need. Alright. Excuse me one second. Hello. Hi, I'm just in the middle of a shiur. Everything alright? Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. All right, call you back. Okay. Bye. No, call you back. Sorry about that. All right. Next on the list. So medical research is not going to do it, but if it's a sakana lefaneinu, it will. Legal medicine. What about forensic legal medicine? This comes up all the time. Let's say, who's familiar with forensic medicine? Anybody? What's the name of that show?
CSI.
CSI. No one ever watched CSI?
I don't consider it like a crash course in criminology.
Right. So
one time there was like this guy like he's like doing this V, like making a V as he was on the phone. So what they did was they hooked up the V to like some machine and it told them what he heard on the phone.
What? I didn't catch it, but anyway. Something like what they do on CSI, or in real life, we're talking about. Do you think that constitutes a heter for an autopsy?
Yeah, same to like solve a criminal case.
Yeah. So why? What's using halachic terminology? Why? I agree with you. Why?
Because you're stopping that person from killing other people.
Right. It could be that if I'm able to ascertain this guy's the murderer, that will definitely be a sakana stefashos put in check. Very good. Okay. We're going to get into more detail about this.
So you say it doesn't matter. Like, even like you don't know who, you don't know who's infected, but you know there is someone.
Right. In other words, it's a case by case. I'll give you the example of the Chazon Ish. I'll show you how he expanded it. Chazon Ish was asked, let's say, there was a cholera epidemic in town A. That's a bad disease, right? And now, in town B, everybody's healthy. There's no present sakana in town B. But they want to do certain things that involve Chilul Shabbos or other Isurim, right? Because of the possibility that the disease would spread. So everybody was shouting, "No, the Yehuda, no, the Yehuda says Cholul Lefaneinu," and we don't have a Cholul Lefaneinu. So in response to that, the Chazon Ish says, "No, it isn't mean Dafka Cholul Lefaneinu, the Sakana is Lefaneinu." In other words, there's an ever-present danger that exists, right? And that will be Matir the Isurim. So he considered the spread of the disease. The disease is there. No one's affected by it yet. So we don't really have a cholul lefaneinu, but we have a sakana lefaneinu, and that's good enough. If we have a murderer potentially walking around, that's also a sakana lefaneinu. If we have a family member with a known sudden death, with a potential entity that's affecting others, that will be the focus. Some people said yes, some people said no. You can see why. It gets a little vague. It gets a little blurry, these kind of cases. Right? Where do you draw the line? Sorry?
What did they end up doing in that case?
They did it. They did a limited autopsy. Like, they used that sheet that is in the back, and they found the cause, and then we checked all the kids. We checked all the family members, every first degree relative. Made sure they did not have it.
What turned out to be the reason why he died?
What was the cause?
Yeah.
There's something called an aortic dissection. You know what that is?
I'm assuming.
Aorta tears. Now, that was a really good thing to know, because it could be detected early and avoided. If he had been known, like I have like 10 families with this condition in the family, and I screen some of the kids every 6 months, some of the kids every year, for development of this entity. And now that whole family is going to get screened. It's not just one-time check, because it could be like coming out over time. So it's a really important thing to know. It's a really important thing. So that was a very on-the-money heter to do. On the money. It turned out to really give the yield, but I had no doubts that it should be done. And I really feel that way. Limited autopsies in all these cases, and I unfortunately encounter them. What happens is, I had this one of the most horrible cases was this Hasidish woman comes into my office. I don't know, they tell you guys about this thing. I think I once told you. I don't know what context I would have told you. She comes to my office and she's there with, I don't know, about eight kids. So I'm all upbeat and want to say, whoa, what a nice family. And she's like absolutely in depression and she's with another woman and she can't speak and the woman starts to speak and she tells me she started with 15 kids and lost 7. And, you know, they never really identified the entity that was doing it. They did no autopsies or anything like that on any of those cases. So all she had left was bring the surviving kids and have them fully checked out for everything. And, you know, it was too late to do anything about the previous cases. But I remember thinking, you know, who knows what information would have been valuable. But you know, the kids are normal. You know, I was happy to tell him that. That was good news. That always is a good feeling. Anyway, so what we have to weigh is now, at the end of the day, what we're going to develop through these things, this is a depressing topic, is what are these serum involved? Why can't? What do we need heterum? What are these serum involved in autopsy and in all these endeavors? And can we go beyond pikuach nefesh? Will there be any other heterum? Does it have to be absolute pikuach nefesh? Could there be anything else that might be matir the autopsy? For example, what if the person is mocha? They say, I don't care what serum there are. I say, I'm donating my body to science. Go for it. Is that good enough? Right, so we're going to see something even more specific. That's 100% true. So maybe the body doesn't belong to you during life. But after you're dead, maybe, you know, it's going to be turning to dust anyway. So maybe then you have a say. Question?
Yeah, just why with regards to autopsies, is it not possible to do like some type of scanning that'll kind of avoid the procedures or something?
Right, so that's part of it. If you see the limited autopsy thing, when we read through that whole thing, so it's a combination. You can. But, you know, there's limits when there's not blood flowing and things happen.
Right.
So you want to do that as part of it for sure, right? You can do everything to minimize. We're going to do everything to minimize the desecration of the body, right? And 100% correct. And even there's going to be, like, a needle biopsies and things like that as opposed to cutting open. Like, when they do a real autopsy, the only thing worse than real autopsy is what the medical students do to their bodies. Like, you know, that's the only thing worse. But it's really... We'll see a bazillion to the mace. So,
is that the only answer? Is the
no. Now we're going to do the whole thing. So I turn to page 2, and I want you to see this first gemara. I thought is a very important gemara to start with to set the tone for this whole sugya. Right? This is gemara brachos. The verse says like this: Tanu Rabbanan, a molech atzamos rimakom lamakom. Somebody is, let's say, wants to unbury somebody and bury them somewhere else where they prefer them to be. Right, so they're bringing the atzamos from one place to another. Harei ze lo yitnam bediskaya b'yitnam al gabei chamor b'yir kabaleim. The last thing you should do is collect all the bones up in a bag and put it on top of your donkey and ride along with it. Why not? Mipnei shenag behem minag bizayon, because that's a bizayon to them. The imayam isyari mipnei nochrim. Let's say you were afraid if I don't keep them close to me and I put them somewhere else that's more derech kavod. The Nachrim will do something, or if they list them, someone's going to steal them, then mutter. So in that setting, you could do it. Ukederech she'amru ba'atzamos is the key line. Kach amru b'sefer Torah. What is that? That's what I wanted you to see. What is the Gemara comparing? They're comparing the bones of a deceased person to sefer Torah. What's the connection? Where's the comparability between the body of a person and a sefer Torah? What do you think the message is?
What's that, Bizayon?
Right? The message is more than Bizayon. The message is going much further. It's a total equation. Meaning, what? Right. In other words, what is a Sefer Torah? A Sefer Torah, right? Let's say the case of a Sefer Torah even, right? The Chefetz Shel Torah, that puzzle, or the thing that held the Sefer Torah. So that is what we call a Mishkan of Kedusha. It's something that held Kedusha. And what's the din for those things? A Sefer Torah apostle? Geniza. You have to bury it, right? That's exactly the idea of Kfura by a body. The body was the Mishkan of Kedusha, the Neshama. The Neshama is the Kedusha, and the Guf is the container. And the same way that the physical Eitz Chaim and Sefer Torah and the cloth contains the Kedusha of Torah, so too, totally analogously, the body contains the neshama. And that's the starting point for understanding why the halacha is going to be so strict and so determined to treat it in a certain way. Starting with the very famous halacha of Geniza. Just like the only thing you could do with the Sefer Torah after it's pasul is bury it. So too, that's why we bury bodies. That's why. No other reason. Not because of disease, not because of whatever concocted reasons people come up with. It's because it has its kedusha. It is it's a tashvish kedusha at the very least, but it's a very high level one, right? It's more than a mitzvah, right? What's the din by something that's a tashvish mitzvah?
Nizrachim.
What?
Nizrachim.
Right, and you just have to do it in a mekubedik way, But you don't have geniza by an old lulav and esrog. You don't have geniza by an old chefzah shel mitzvah. Only by a sefer Torah and stam, things like that. That's, and the body makes it to that level. It's bigger than a chefzah shel mitzvah.
So we believe that, you know, this is like the Mishkan, you know, like our bodies are like the Mishkan for the Neshama.
Mm-hmm.
So what about like the non-Jews? Like, where's their reason?
We're going to do this. Handout number three is the whole non-Jewish question. We're going to see. That's a very interesting part of this whole thing. Because that's going to be very helpful to medical students in America, not in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a big problem. I just was in NYU a couple of weeks ago when I went in, and they asked me to give a schmooze to all the pre-meds on becoming a doctor and being from. So some poor guy is very set on going to medical school in Eretz Yisrael. And I told him you're going to have more halakhic problems potentially doing that than if you stayed in the States. One of them was this, because the bodies here are going to be robe Jewish as opposed to there where the bodies are robe non-Jewish. And we'll see how that works out. I mean, it isn't. What's this business? We can do bizarre to non-Jewish bodies? No. No, we're not going to say that, but we'll see what we do say. Let's just develop. What's the problem? So there's more than just bizarre. What else is there? What is wrong with an autopsy? Give me three issues. One is nivel hames, which is bizarre, just disrupting and doing and not nice things to a mace. What else is there? There's a chiyuv, we mentioned already. Kfura. And one more thing.
Tumas maya?
No, that's only for Kohen, right? Kohen, it's personal. Right. There's separate issues for Kohen. Right. I'm saying for everybody. Right. The Kohen have it worse, right? But have it harder. We got to put it differently. Kohen has a greater opportunity for higher levels of Kedusha than the rest of us. Now, but what is the third issue? What other issues are involving in mace? That's very important. Why is it?
The idea that
mace
has to be buried is fully and completely.
That's kfura. Let's say kfura. So it's kfura, bizayon, and iser hanar. Iser hanar. You cannot get hanar from the mace. Totally independent of any bizayon or anything like that. And this is going to be really important in what sugya, in what area?
Medical research.
Well, yes, medical research and transplants. And that's one of the timings, right? We have to always make sure that if a person's going to be promoting transplant, even on real dead bodies without all the brain death controversy, but on straight dead bodies, right? And people donate skin and eyes and parts of the eye. Right, we're all adults, right? All that stuff. So, but there's an Isser Hanah. So how do we get around that? So at the end, we'll talk about that. All right, so let's quickly get introduced to what the Isser of Kfura is. Anyone know where the Chiyuv Kfura comes from? The pasuk right over here on page 2. It says, "V'kiyeh be'ish chet mishpat maves, v'humas v'salisa oso ala eitz. Lo salin liblas ala eitz ki kavor tik berenu bayom ahu. Ki kilas Elohim taloi v'lo setame es admascha v'asher Hashem nosen lo." So wait. Where is there the chiyuv kfura of a mace in those pesukim? Anyone see it? What's the context here? What is this? Where is this coming from? What part of the Torah? What's going on in the Torah around this area? Who are they hanging? Who's this guy? This guy was Chayv Skila, right? Somebody's Chayv Skila, was Chayv Misa. Why was he Chayv Skila? He was a Megadev. We're not doing our Shnayim Mikra well enough again.
Is that what is our? Is that
blasphemy?
Blasphemy.
Right. That's a Megadif. Right. There are other Chiyuvim for Skila too. Happens to be this one's a Megadif. Right. That's what was the context. Right. If you do the Mazid with Hasra and Isser Shabbos, you're going to be Chayv Skila also. This guy was Megadif, so he's Chayv Skila. So what does it say? Does anyone ever learn the Mishnayos in Sanhedrin?
Yeah.
Okay, so what, you know the whole process of skila is a pretty gruesome thing, right?
You get him drunk.
What happens at the end? Yeah, so we're nice about that, right? That was part of our euthanasia discussion. We do get him drunk ahead of time. Right? You don't want him to suffer, right? V'haftarecha kamocha, we should assure him a misa yafa, right? But over here, what's going on? So he gets stoned after the whole gruesome process of stoning him, drunk or not. Right? He's stoned. And then What are we supposed to do? It says, "Urevimu kol achi yiru ba'avanim b'meis ubiyater abikirach v'leisoy ishmu v'yirav v'kiyeh ish v'chayim mishmas maves v'humas v'saliso zol eitz." You hang him up. Why are we hanging him up? The Torah? I don't know. The Torah has some kind of agenda here. They can hang up this guy.
Supposed to announce it, Hachaza.
Yes, right. Because I guess it's a warning to everybody. See what happens, you know, right? Then what do? So here's what we say. Don't leave him up there for more than 24 hours. Don't leave him up there. Right? Take him down. That's where we learned that you're not allowed to, you know, not have burial go more than 24 hours. Right? Why? Ki kililas elokim talu. What does that mean? What does that literally mean? So the Pashup shot here, if you look at Rashi and Chumash, you look at the Rashi and the Gemara, is, well, this guy is hanging up there, the guy that cursed Hashem. So what's going to happen? Bodies will be walking by in the street and they go, oh, there's the guy that cursed Hashem. Right? So we have a bunch of people talking about cursing Hashem, I mean, that's a bad thing. Right? That's Pashup shot. That's one angle.
Didn't Rashi also use a mashal?
Yes.
That it's remade the son of a king. So it's like the mashal he gives is like a king has a twin.
Good. That's going to be, that's the opening to handout number three. And you know, what does Rashi say there specifically?
That people are going to...
It's a mashal. What's the mashal again? The mashal is a king with...
King has a twin brother who's a thief, and then right. The thief gets caught, and they hang him, and the thief passed by the thief, and say, look, the king is hanging.
Right, exactly. So who does that apply to, Rashi says? Who could be the brother of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Klal Yisrael. And that's the one of the opening sources for that this whole thing, Dafka, applies to Jews and not to non-Jews. But we're going to get to that. We can get to that at handout number three. But right, that's what Rashi says in Chumash. Rashi says in Chumash. But getting back over here to what we're going to focus on is, look at the Mishnah below. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah described the whole thing, what you do to him, and then it says, "Matir no somiyad." Right after you hang him up, you take him down. The imlam, and if you let him stay up there too long, over Allah below sasa shneimar lo salin divlaso ala eitz ki kivor tikvirenu. So you're over on Allah and aser, right? And then it says, "Lo zubilba." But from this, what would I assume? Who is usher to leave hanging up there? Everybody or only? Right now, a Pashup Shad is only a guy who's a Magadev. A guy who's a Magadev, because I'm worried about, you know, people walking by and saying, hey, there's the Magadev. He's cursed, you know, that's the guy that cursed Hashem. And if that was the whole thing, then this would be limited to that context. The guy who gets executed by Beis Din, stoned, right? So him, you're not allowed to leave up there. What about the rest of everybody? No big deal. Who says you have to bury them? Right? So if you turn the page, the Gemara says so. Right? The Mishnah said it. And the Gemara learns it out. Right? So, since we don't have that much time, I'm going to do this outside, mostly. But you can look. This is the sugya of the Chi of Kfura, right over here. And there's two important segments to this sugya that I want you to really know about. One is, are there any exceptions? The Gemara is going to learn out, based on Kfor Tikvarenu, the Kefo HaLosham, that it doesn't only apply to the bad guy who was executed, but it applies to all Mesim. All Mason, we'll see Jew and non-Jew in section 3. But that it learns that out. And then it says like this, and it says, however, there will be times when you can delay. Has anyone, lo aleinu rechman l'san, ever been involved in a funeral where they had to delay it more than 24 hours? Or know of one? Right? It happens all the time, right? Why does it happen?
Sometimes. Can you do it to bring the body to Eretz
Yisrael? Right, so you can do it for that. What else can you do it for?
Shabbos.
Well, you can't bury on Shabbos.
Right. Let's say the person died like right as Shabbos starts.
Right. So everyone always tries to get it in if they could before. If you can't, then you can't. And that would be another scenario. That's true. That would be another scenario. But what's another one where it's Tuesday?
Your relatives on the fly.
Yes, relatives lying in. Now, how could that be? There's an Issa Daraisa and an Aseh Daraisa. How could it be?
Isn't it covered up?
Yes. That's the exception. And this is going to be very important for our topic, because what the Gemara learns out is that the reason, ultimately, for burial is Kavod Ames. Right? So therefore, I'm allowed to be Dorish, since that's the reason. If it's more Kavod for the Mace to delay, I should delay. And we would assume for the brother to arrive or some other family member to arrive that's very close to the niftar, that it would warrant greater kavod to the mace to delay. Right? What's the potential problem with that whole mahalach? Darshina and Tami Dekra. Right? Are you normally allowed to be Darsh Tami Dekra? Everyone know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We talked about it in other times, right? You know, since when am I allowed to figure out the reason for a din and then expand or limit the scope of the mitzvah? So what did I tell you? When are you allowed to be there? If the reason is given, is this one of those? Yes. Ki kilas Hashem tamo. This is the other way that line is understood, is because this is a bizayon to the Telem Elokim, like the Rashi that you mentioned, right? This is a bizayon to the Telem Elokim. That's what that line means. So since the Torah itself gave me that reason, so you're going to be able to use that now to determine when to apply this din. Some people want a taina that if a person dedicates their body to science, right, it is now a kavo to that mace to be used for that purpose. Others want to determine every autopsy should be mutter. Why? Because it's a kavod for that mace to help in medical research.
Who decides what kavod mace is? Does a person who decides if it's kavod mace? Because some people might think that being used for research is a design to them.
Right. So good. So how do you think it should work? So that's the other sugya in this Gemara I wanted you to see. If you look down, there's a very fascinating three lines to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ibailahu, kvura mishum bizyonahu o mishum kapara. The Gemara wants to know, what's the reason we bury? It comes down to two possibilities. Is it because of bizayon? It would be to see the body decay on the outside. Is it bizayon to the mace? Is that why we bury bodies? Or is it a kapara? What does kapara mean? It's part of the expiation of the person's averos to have to go through, let's say, whatever happens to a body that's buried, you know, the decay and the worms and all that kind of thing, right? Which one is the determining factor why we bury? What's the nafkamina? Who cares? So, the nafkamina will be this. Gemara says it actually. Mamai nafkamina, da amar lo ba'ina, da lik verua la hu gavra. A person said, don't bury me. Right? I don't want to be buried. I am mochel on bizayon. Can you be mochel on bizayon?
No.
Can you be mochel on kapara?
No.
Yes. You can be mochel on kapara. Can you mochel on bizayon? No. Why not? Because Rashi points out over here, who's Bizayon is this? It's, well, we don't even have to go that far. You know who Bizayon is? According to Rashi, it's the whole families. And you know what the Ramban says? It's all of Klal Yisrael's Bizayon. So that becomes the determining factor now. We're going to pass it like the Ramban in Tarsa Adam. He says not to bury a body, it's not just a Bizayon to the individual that he gets to, even if he had bias over it, he gets to determine, I don't care about that Bizayon, right? It's a kavod for me. So we say, batel daitel tzel kol klai Yisrael. If all of klai Yisrael agreed, if we all agreed as a nation that it's not a bizayon for bodies to be researched and dissected, there would be no problem. Because a person could give up their kapara. It's stupid to do that, you know. But they could do it. And the bizayon now, we're all maskin. Right? So what does the Gemara determine at the end? It's an ibaya de lo ishito. Right? Remember what that means? It means they don't pick either one. So we paskin l'chumra, both ways. We assume that we're bearing for both reasons. Which is why the starting point for our discussion is going to be, it's going to be very hard to use any of these flimsy excuses to allow lack of burial. You're going to need something much more potent than just, I want to dedicate the, I think it's a kavod that my body should be used for medical purposes. Alright? Kvura is not going to get by that so fast. Alright, let's stop. It is very hard to make this a cheerful topic. It really is. It's not impossible.
We already talked about birth.
Huh?
We already talked about birth.
I know. We have to go back to the beginning of life. There's more to say about...